She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure. She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
Welcome to the Word of Mom Media Network and Word of Mom Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio. I'm Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here day after day and week after week with great shows, breaking those myths that mompreneurs and women in business are, you know, dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're smart, we're savvy, and we're finding ways to build the bridges and gaps between building a business, raising a family, having a life, and all of those wonderful things that go on in between. And today's guest is one of those amazing women that I actually had the opportunity. I was at the Women in Business Summit, and we both had on things, that outfits that both of us would wear. So it was an immediate kindred spirit. And you all know Angel Johnstone from Word of Mom. She's kind of become my co-host for Moms After Dark. And it turned out that all three of us wound up knowing each other. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing. And Liz Dieterer empowers women, business leaders, entrepreneurs, and honestly anyone who will listen, to speak with confidence around and about money. As the founder and CEO of Selling with Service, Liz and her team have helped clients increase close rates from 0 to 80% in 30 days, end the year 50% over plan, and increase sales from under $300,000 to $1.5 million in under just 6 months. Liz has been featured on the International Women and Money Summit. This is her second act national speaking tour, teaching business owners and sales teams the currency of conversation so that they can close clients quickly. And she's a firm believer that business doesn't need to have to feel so hard. Liz helps business owners and sales teams close quickly by speaking the four currencies of conversation. Before starting her own company in 2011, Liz developed growth strategies for startups, turnaround, and high-growth international retail companies. So isn't it interesting hearing all that stuff about yourself, Liz? It's like, wow, I did that really.
It's always fascinating to me. I'm like, who is she talking about?
It's like, oh, wait a minute. Help me. Holy smoly. So, you know, welcome to Word of Mom Radio. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm having a case of the Mondays, but it's all good. I'm psyched to be here. So I'm very happy to carve out some time and just have a really powerful conversation with you.
Well, looking forward to that. And, you know, before we really delve into questions, just share your journey. What brought you here?
Well, you know, my journey, you know, through the lens of Word of Mom Radio, you know, my business was built out of necessity, you know, and I'm comfortable to peel it all back today if you're okay with that, because I think you've seen some of my recent Facebook posts too. You know, I was in a relationship for 3 years, found out I was pregnant, and it was pretty much at the time that I found out I was pregnant that I said, this relationship is not going to work, and I can't continue to work for somebody else on their schedule and try to be any semblance of the mom that I think I can be. I'd always kind of had like a business alongside my career, you know, cleaning out closets, selling the clothes on eBay. I grew up in fashion and stuff like that. But when I found out I was pregnant, I was like, nope, this is the time to do it. So I actually was presented with like a franchise type company that did web design. And then I could sell the websites to local small business owners. And that's what I did. And that's what got me out of corporate by the time my daughter was 7 months old. And over time, very client organic led, because if you had told me 5 years ago I'd be running a sales training company, I'd be like, yeah, can I have some of what you're having? Because it sounds good, but not me. But it was very organically led that I would be sitting there with my clients trying to help them with their marketing and positioning. And so we could do the website. And then I would hear them have these client conversations and they would just be train wrecks. And never, never did I consider myself a salesperson. I grew up in retail, which is, yes, we know sales. It's like, duh, Liz. But I didn't see it that way. I saw that I played with clothes and I helped people feel good about themselves and look really fancy too. But when I was sitting there with my customers of all different types of businesses, just hanging out and enjoying the time of not being in corporate, I would hear them have these conversations on the phone or in person. And I was like, I know I'm just your web designer, but like, if you're open to it, you may consider saying this instead of that. And then they would try it because they were like, well, whatever I'm doing isn't working. So they would try it and they were like, wow, that really works. And it wasn't until I was sitting with my accountant one day and he's like, yeah, Liz, that's called coaching and consulting. You can get paid for that. And I was like, I can get paid for talking? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. I don't have to do the deliverables and I don't have to do all the design and anything anymore. So it was really organically led. I'm 8 years in now, and I've talked to business owners who within 3 years, and I've helped business owners, you know, within 3 or 5 years grow past the $1 million mark. And part of me kind of sits here and says, man, I'm 8 years in and I'm really good at this. Like, I should be well over the multi-million-dollar mark, and I'm not. And then this is where the mom side of things comes in, that I look at my journey over the past 8 years, and I became a single mom. I've navigated the legal system from a domestic abuse perspective. I've dealt with custody with a very, very mean man who has psychologically traumatized my child. So the fact that my business is where it is, and we've got our head above water and we're still helping people, I might not be where I know I can and will be one day, but I'm really at a point that I've come to terms with the journey, how far I've made it, how many people I have helped. And I share that in this setting because I think it's really important for moms to hear that, you know, the success that we want on the outside sometimes doesn't manifest in the timeline that we want it to, which doesn't mean that it won't happen. It just means that as moms, we're carrying the burden of so much that it doesn't quantify in the traditional realm of success. So we might not acknowledge it as that. And sometimes it falls under the survival umbrella. So we don't give ourselves credit for that. And I know what I've taken away, and you know, one of the many things in this past 8 year journey of dealing with all of this is that I have done a lot that doesn't get read in the bio, that I'm ridiculously proud of, that I'm starting to feel a little bit more comfortable to talk about publicly, because everyone I share it with, they're like, oh yeah, me too. Yep, that was me too. So I think it's really important as mompreneurs that, as much as we share the business side of the success, we also share that, like, when we joke, well, my kids are still alive, you know, keeping our, like, that's a really big, there's a lot that goes into that sentence. And I think that we just need to carve out time and space to honor that as a massive accomplishment more than just, like, you know, a sidebar line. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, because sometimes that's as good as it gets. And I so agree with you that, you know, I don't know whether it's society, ourselves, our friends, because sometimes our worst enemies are our family and friends when we have our own business, because, yeah, so are you a millionaire yet? You know, have you made this, it's like, excuse me, are you a millionaire?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me that people say that to you know, when you own your own business. And it's sometimes like the toughest people out there are the ones that you would think would support you the most. But I have to ask you, you know, in looking at what you do and your overview of things, what are the biggest mistakes you see people making in that sales conversation?
Well, in the sales conversation particularly, and I've applied this to every conversation in my life anywhere. The biggest mistake that people make is that they are they're making decisions for other people from their own financial positioning and their own financial experiences and history. So in the sales conversation, particularly, that's what it looks like. It's, you know, and that shows up, you know, very simply as they can't afford me. Or they could totally afford me, right? Like, that's a financial decision that you're making for somebody else. And what the unintended consequence of that is that you have now peppered the conversation with that as the outcome, and that's just not true. And where this shows up and impacts people is, yes, in the sales conversation, but it shows up even way earlier than that in how you're deciding who you're going to go after as a target market, as a prospective client, your avatar, that languaging of they can't afford me limits us to helping people at a lower level than where we really could be feeding ourselves better.
Interesting. And you know, those are the things that make you go, huh, because it's like, wait a minute, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That very often we come at it from where we are as opposed to where they are. It's kind of having their conversation for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, and I use the, you know, Capital One. It's like, what's in your wallet? And I say in my trainings, I'm like, get out of their wallet. Like, and I did a training at Capital One where I got to use that. And I was like, this is a moment. I'm having a moment right now. But I do joke in it, you know, get out of their wallet. It's not for you to decide. There are four currencies that we get to play with. Money is just one of them. And how would you like it if someone, you know, said to you in a sales conversation, well, you couldn't afford me. Like, could you imagine? But that's what we're doing, just in different languages. And that's a huge mistake, because the problem with that is you're making a decision for the other person before anyone gets a chance to really experience or serve or help each other.
You know, I've actually heard people say that to somebody, though. Oh, you can't afford me. And it's like, really, you know, why would you say something like that to someone? But, you know, it makes me think back to when my kids were growing up and they would say, you know, Mom, I know what you're going to say, but I wanted to ask you. It's like, don't continue that conversation. You've already made up my mind, so thank you for not wasting my time. And
exactly. They
would be like, no, you've already said, or, you know, I know you're going to say no, but it's like, okay, take the no. Thanks for making up my mind for me. You know, but, and it's like, yeah, you had my conversation for me, so you already made the decision. Stick with it. I'll work with that. You know, and so it's, I guess, you know, never thought of it that we do that to ourselves in business. As well. You know, why do you think more women and entrepreneurs don't consider themselves being in sales?
Oh, because sales is icky. Nobody wants to be in sales. Nobody grows up saying, I want to be a salesperson. Nobody is like, oh my God, I'm so proud that I'm a salesperson. Like, we're the black sheep of the company. We're the black sheep of the family. You know, it's like, oh God, you're in sales. I've even been on dates before where they're like, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I don't say I run a sales. I learned not to say that, but this is also taking a step back from dating. But I've said on dates before, like, oh, I'm in sales. Oh, you're in sales. Well, I'm really looking forward to a second date with you, first of all. But it's like, that's the perception that people have. So that's why they don't want to say that they're in sales, because they think it's grown up with like this, you know, comb over used car salesman kind of energy, the slimy, sleazy, and I wouldn't want to be in sales either. That's why I said, like, if you had said to me 5 years ago, you're going to be running a sales training company, I'd be like, that chance. I'm not a salesperson. It's because it has this negative connotation that we have to, like, project ourselves onto other peoples. And peoples, come on, I can speak English. People, coffee's kicking in. And the reason I named my company Selling with Service is A, because it was client-led, but B, it's because that's the whole premise of everything that we do, is that it's through the lens of service is how we operate. So it's actually not sales. Inside our sales school, when we talk about sales conversations, we call them service conversations. We just don't say that on the outside, because people would be like, what is Maytag coming? Like, they wouldn't understand it. So we speak the common language on the outside, but inside it's like, no, it's a service conversation. Like, how can you be of service to somebody? And the shift that people have once they mentally wrap their brain around the conversation, like, oh, this conversation doesn't have anything to do with me. It's all about the other person. And the more I give, the better off everybody is. Oh, it's a big holy shift. So that's where I'm on a mission to say, yeah, you don't technically have to think of yourself as a salesperson if that makes you feel icky, but you are. And we're just going to look at it very differently.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to thank our fabulous sponsors here on Word of Mom Radio, and we will be back in just a moment as we continue our conversation with Liz Dieterer.
As parents, keeping our school safe is uppermost in our mind. More and more schools are requiring students carrying a clear bag, but that puts the responsibility of keeping our school safe on the backs of our children. Safety Bags has a full line of bags, not only for the students, but for the teachers, the administrators, the sports department, school personnel, and more. Our line of clear bags and backpacks come with a 3-year warranty and can be used to raise funds for your schools and athletic departments nationwide. Please visit us at safetybags.com. You will see why we are the clear choice for your schools, because safety, it's in the bag.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than 1 in 4 children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404. Or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
Hey, sports fans, take the hassle out of going to the game with the clear bags from stadiumbags.com. Our crossbody mini messenger bag, stadium-sized backpack, tote bag with different color straps, and ready-to-go travel bag meet the size requirements for pro and college sports. You can find us at stadiumbags.com and get yourself the bags guaranteed to last season after season, because safety, it's in the bag.
And we're back here on Word of Mom Radio with Liz Dieterer from Selling with Service. And we're talking about, right now, I want to ask you, because I know it's part of what you do, how do you make sales sexy?
I really think the way that you make sales sexy is you show up as your most confident self. Confidence is what people are buying. So when you show up as your most confident self, people are attracted to that. And here's the other side of the coin. People will not be attracted to that. But guess what? They're not your people. And there's nothing sexier than showing up as the highest and best version of you, as your confident self in your absolute zone of genius, so that you are vibing in the right people and vibing out the ones who aren't right for you. And I think that we operate through this lens of scarcity that, well, I can help everyone and I can be all things to all people. Even Target has a target market. Everyone has a target market. So when you are owning your brilliance and your genius at the highest and best level, and you know who you're here to serve on the highest and best level, and you're vibing out there with that confidence, I don't know, nothing sexier than that to me.
You know, I would have to agree with you, and it's interesting because, let's face it, we can't be all things to everyone, even though you want to be. Let's face it, you know, you want to think that absolutely everybody can use everything that you have, and I think it's why you need to look at remarketing, retooling, doing all of the things that, you know, bring you into those places. But I love that you are talking about service, because I say that to people all the time. It's like, you know what? It's not a sale unless someone says no, and then you're actually selling why. Before that, no, you are providing a service. No matter what you do, you are providing a service for someone. And I do think that when you come at it from that mental aspect, that it has a different connotation. You know, it takes the icky out of it. And, you know, I'm kind of curious, why do you think more women aren't in sales?
Well, I think a lot of it goes back to what we were saying before about, you know, just why people don't consider themselves, why women don't consider themselves as being in sales. I think it's because the old way of doing sales really was grown from this kind of, you know, old school masculine, like 1980s used car salesman kind of vibe. And, you know, sales, the history of sales is that it really was, you know, the first sales training almost 100 years ago now, with I should know the company, the registers company. I'm drawing a blank on the actual name. National National Register Corporation, cash registers.
when they first started to kind of formalize the sales training, it was men out there selling, and men are hunters. If we go back, you know, to the early days, you know, men are hunters. So they're more apt to go out there and hunt and try to close and kill the sale. And that's how sales training was developed. It was by men for men. And then over time, just as early as the 80s, when women started to enter the business market more, Mary Kay came on the radar and women were kind of allowed to be out there, and I say allowed with air quotes, to have these conversations. We followed the paradigm that was built and tested and true and existed, which is, you know, the masculine way of hunting. Women are by nature nurturers and we operate differently. So looking at the sales, air quote, sales process, not one of hunting and chasing and killing and going after and following up and all those masculine words that we use, pitch and all this other stuff. If we completely turn it inside out through the lens of hashtag selling with service, then we're looking at a nurturing funnel. We're looking at building and strengthening a relationship and a bond over time in a formulaic kind of a way, because it is a business. But when we do it through that lens, it feels lighter and fun and easy and more welcoming and inviting. We just haven't been taught to do it that way. We're taught to operate the old paradigm, which is not our DNA. It's not how we're born and bred.
Interesting. You know, never thought of it from that side of it, which just makes so much sense when you think about it. I mean, really, you know, it's like those aha moments going, oh, wow, never occurred to me that the nurturing side, you know, it's like when we talk about word of mom, and I'll say some women will be like, you know, but I'm not a mom. It's like, sure you are. There's a mom in all of us. We're the nurturers. Mm-hmm. So whether giving birth does not make you a mom. We do what we do as women because it's what we do. And mm-hmm. I always go back to the caveman days. Think about it. They had to go out there, hunt the food, and the food could kill them, so they had to really be focused, whereas women had to do 50 different things at the same time always. So we were always, you know, juggling and had so many balls in the air. And, you know, so it's to me only natural that we get into this side of our lives with providing a service, you know, for people, whether, no matter what that service is. So,
and it's the difference of the give and get energy. The men, the hunters, they're all about what can I go out and get? And that's the sales thinking and energy. What can I go out and get? And that's where it feels so icky for women to pick up the phone to, and some men too, right? This is not like completely, you know, gender, you know, specific. It's more, you know, energetically, but it is rooted in some sort of a gender, you know, identification component. But it's men in the traditional sense are out there, what can I get? And women take that on and it's like, this does not feel good to me. We're doing 50 things, as you said, multitasking all at once, but we're doing them for other people. So we're able to operate in that high functioning kind of realm because we're in the give energy. So when we can look at the sales process through one of it's actually give energy, then we can step into it wholeheartedly. And I'll give you the big holy shift around how you do that. I'll just turn this into a training. The big holy shift around how you step into a sales flow, conversation, process, whatever, with give energy is the acknowledgement and understanding that from the first time you have a conversation with someone about business and there's a resonance between the two of you, they are already a client. There is no further point of conversion. You will give and give and give until it makes sense to say, we need to schedule our first play date together because I can't give anymore without getting some deeper information from you. And that deeper information is going to require, like, we need to carve out a play date here. And when you can step into the entire conversation and the entire relationship through that lens, that's a beautiful thing. And that's where most clients in sales school and otherwise are having the biggest holy shifts is they're like, oh my God, I don't have to hold back information. And there's formulas around how we protect ourselves from ourselves so you're not fire hosing from day one. But you can step into abundance and give energy and have a really high, air quote, close rate and have a really successful business.
What do you think is the one secret ingredient that makes you so unique in your industry?
I'm going to say it's that we talk about money right out of the gate. And it's not the dollars and cents that we talk about and setting your sales goals and targets necessarily, while that's a factor of it. So what really makes it unique and the secret ingredient is that we talk about money from the softer side. And just like I was sharing before, how we make financial decisions for other people from our own financial history and positioning, that until we acknowledge how we're operating around currency, I can give you all the words to say. I can give you all the scripts. I can give you all the things to message people and say this and say that. And we do have all of that in sales school. But it's not going to have any sticking impact for any length of time unless you really acknowledge what your relationship is with money and the energy that you're putting out into the conversation. We really go a little woo-woo behind the scenes. Like, I was just talking to my last client this morning about crystals, crystals and the full moon and tarot and all this other stuff. And that was it was a sales training conversation. But we talk about the softer side, the energy side of things, and specifically your relationship with money. And, you know, I really think that that's what makes us, in my totally biased opinion, that's what makes us, you know, unique out there, you know, among other things.
Well, Liz, it's amazing how fast the time goes. Please, as we wrap up, what would you like to leave our audience with? And please let them know how to reach you.
I will. I actually want to leave them with some hard numbers. Just real quick, I want to go through, because people say that they can't make it to six figures and that sales has to be so hard and they need to have all this volume. And I just want to kind of just break through with some hard numbers here. I believe that the entrepreneurial minimum wage that we need to strive for is $120,000 a year, $10,000 a month. I believe that that is where we need to set our bare bones minimum as the entrepreneurial minimum wage. If you are operating a service-based business, consider an average client size of $5,000, right? An average sale, whether that's an annual program or a consulting, whatever that nets out to. We're just going to do that because it's a really solid number of where at a good service provider you should have something at the $5,000 price point. Do the math on that. $120,000 over the course of a 12-month period where you're only selling one thing at $5,000, whatever that is, an annual subscription, 90 days, who knows, we can slice and dice that. That breaks down to two sales a month, one sale every other week. That is all that you need to be doing. So I just want to leave people that you don't have to have massive volume. You can have a very specifically targeted group of people because you really only need 24 clients a year to reach that entrepreneurial minimum wage, where now you can start to look at really in a healthy financial way, building out your team, breathing a little bit easier so that you can double next year. But that's it. That's the math on it. That's can't break it down simpler than that. So that's the nugget I want to leave people with. Yeah, so they can come over and play with us over at salesschoolforentrepreneurs.com. And we're kicking off the sales school. It's going to be a big official launch next year. So we're running various pilot programs right now, giving as we're refining and kind of zhuzhing things out. But salesschoolforentrepreneurs.com. And we would love to talk about how we can help you help more people.
Well, Liz, thank you so much for being here. I'm looking forward to taking a look at salesschoolsforentrepreneurs.com and really sharing you, because I think what you are saying is very eye-opening for a lot of people that are going to be listening to this, and I hope that they will be reaching out to you to learn more from you. So I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here on Word of Mom Radio. And for all of us, for all of our listeners, thank you for being here with us. This is Dori DiCarlo on behalf of everyone here at Word of Mom Radio and the Word of Mom Media Network, saying thanks so much. We're closing out with our fabulous theme song, She Is You, from Smith Sisters Bluegrass. Until next time, go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is- is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
Sure of herself, yes, she takes care of biz. Powerful and strong, yes, she knows who she is. Has integrity, woman strong and true. You know her by name, see this woman is you. She is sure,
she is sure.
She is strong,
she is strong.
She is true,
she is true.
She is brave,
she is brave.
She is bold,
she is bold.
She is you,
she is you. She is you,
she is you. She is sure,
she is sure.
She is strong,
she is strong.
She is true,
she is true.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
Adds value and hope. Has proved to be brave. See, it's never too late. Never time to behave. Reaching for dreams. Doesn't matter the age. Believes in herself. Unleashed from her cage. She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is